Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. The Reverend Dr. Ross Johnson is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The gospel lesson for this morning is from Luke chapter 17, beginning in the 11th verse. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and he praised God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was none of them found to return to give praise and thanks to God except for this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." O Lord, have mercy upon us. We know of no other God except the Lord in whom we trust. Let us seek his mercy with tears and humble ourselves before him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
He does not despise us, nor does he take away his salvation from us.
You may be seated. Grace, peace, and mercy to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think for many of us, this is one of the more memorable scripture passages. As Jesus was walking on the road to Jerusalem, walking on his road to go to one day, very soon, ultimately die on the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of the world, 10 lepers came and saw Jesus. And they were in absolute desperation. And as many of us have all learned in Sunday school, that the lepers were the outcast of the community. They're the people that had a slow, agonizing death. The doctors, the wisdom of their world, had no wisdom to give them, no solutions. There was no way for them to live their best life right now here on earth. And so they had nowhere to turn. Obviously, they must have heard that Theotokos, that the God-man, with the healer, was in their midst. So they went up to Jesus and said, "Have mercy on us. We have no other options. Help us out here." Jesus, of course, had mercy upon them and cleansed them. It's not shocking that Jesus was merciful. It's not shocking that Jesus helped out the poor, the destitute, those who had no other hope. What's shocking is that nobody even, well, apart from one, that 90% of the people that he cleansed in that situation didn't even thank him. When I was a parish pastor in Alabama, it must have been during confirmation, we were talking about this biblical story, and one of the young girls said, "You know what, Pastor Johnson? I don't think those men, their mamas taught them right." I said, "You're right, Mary Kate. Their mamas did not teach them right, because they didn't even say thank you. It would have been so obvious just to say thank you. If we were in the lunchroom and we were eating and one of you got up to get a knife or a plasticware or a plastic straw, it would be appropriate to say thank you when you came back and give it. It would just be reasonable. What's kind of unreasonable, what's shocking, is the lack of gratitude that we see in this biblical account. And Jesus was even asking the question, like, where is it? Where are the other people? What happened to them? They didn't want to come back and give thanks? What happened to them? Lack of gratitude, though, is something that we can relate to. As we rear our children, as we deal with family situations, and we see our children in a pickle, or our family members, and we help them out. Sometimes it's not over a small crisis. Sometimes it's over a large crisis. Not only are we sometimes met without any gratitude for what we do, sometimes we're even despised. by our family members for helping them out. Or we're just completely neglected. Or we get a flippant thank you. And you're thinking to yourself, do you have any idea how much time and energy and money I have sacrificed on you? I know for many mothers, nothing is worse than rudeness and lack of gratitude from their children. But not only do we deal with this lack of gratitude within our family situations, but a lot of times even with our bosses, and all of us here have a boss. And I know a lot of times our bosses are in a jam, they need help, they're overwhelmed with a situation and a problem. And you say, all right, it's my job to help out with this. Sometimes it's a little project that you help out with, sometimes it's something that's days or months that you work on, and you get a flippant thank you. I am not speaking autobiographically about myself. I'm just saying it could happen with others here that after you do so much work that it's just like, oh, thanks. And you're thinking to yourself, do you have any idea how much energy I have poured out to make you look good and make this all work out great? All you can say is, oh, thanks. Or, oh, good job. A lot of times it causes anger, fury, rage within us. And we think to ourselves, not me, but it could be done, that you think, is it really worth everything that I'm doing here to get no thanks or praise? And maybe even on a larger level, as we support districts and congregations and schools and youth ministries, and we are approached with significant issues and crises that they are going through. And they say, help us out. We got this problem, this situation. And we spend time supporting districts, congregations, schools, youth ministries, and others, or congregations going through a disaster and a crisis. And after we do so much work, consultations and visitations and giving grants and tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars to get them out of a tough situation or out of a jam, sometimes there's not even any thanks or praise for all of that. And once again, we can scratch our heads and say, you just received so much time and energy and not even a thank you after you got that huge grant award? No thanks at all. The problem, though, it's not just that we deal with ingratitude of others, but the bigger problem is many times we ourselves are ungrateful. And if we really think about it, we struggle with this lack of ingratitude. We're all surrounded by, and we're all covered with blessings all the time. We have so many blessings around. We have more blessings around us than the very air that surrounds us. Every single one of us, when we see a ray of light, we are receiving God's blessings. Every sound that we hear is a blessing. Every breath that we breathe is a blessing from God. Every breath, heartbeat that we have is a blessing. Every bite of food that we eat, sometimes we eat way too much. Now I'm talking autobiographically. But a lot of times we don't even recognize the very blessings, and we forget to even thank God for that. Every drop of water that we drink, every minute of every night of sleep that we get is a blessing by God. Every step that we can take on our own without assistance is a blessing from God. In short, everything that you have and everything that you are is a blessing from God. But the problem is, it is so easy to forget all that stuff that we only remember how good life is and how blessed we are when we start to lose those blessings. It's easy to be fed up with our children at times until they go away and you're an empty nester and you say, man, I'm a little lonely around here. I wish I could deal with their ingratitude a little bit. Sometimes we forget the blessing of our own health until all of a sudden our eyesight doesn't work like it used to, or our hearing goes, or our ability just to put one foot in front of the other, and we say, man, for so many years I was completely ungrateful for it. Then you really start to think about the blessings of God when you start to lose them. But it wasn't when you were enjoying those blessings. But even worse is that if you're not appreciating the blessings of the physical things that God gives you, it's probably unlikely that you're really thanking God for all the spiritual blessings that He has given you. But thankfully, we have a Lord and a Savior who is unlike us. When you are unthanked by your family, your friends, your bosses, people across the synod that you work with, whoever you're frustrated with, God is so unlike you. When you feel disgusted, full of resentment or anger, when you feel like, I just want to quit because it's not worth it, these people are ingrates. Your Lord and Savior never quits you. Despite being forgotten by the nine, He never quits His mission. Jesus could have been walking to Jerusalem and saying, I'm helping all these people out. They have no appreciation and thanks. I'm going to turn around and come back from where I came from. But instead of doing that, like we might be tempted to do, Jesus continues on his road to Jerusalem. He died for you and me so that one day we will be in heaven where we'll never forget that we are in the presence and the joy of our Lord and Savior. Remember that in this world, you will never get the appreciation or the thanks or the praise for all the service that you do in whatever vocation of life that you have. But the Lord knows all of your good deeds. He knows all of your good actions. He knows it when you help out your siblings, when you help out your family members, when you put up with your children that oftentimes are ungrateful even as adults. He knows what it's like to work hard and not to be appreciated or acknowledged for the things that you do. But the Lord loves your good works. He loves your good works because it is through you that the Lord is at work blessing and taking care of this creation, whether it's your children, your family, or his church. The Lord is using you in your service, in your acts of love, whether you are thanked and praised or not. And for that, he loves your works. I want to do something a little bit unusual in our service. But if you could turn in your hymnal to page 322. Page 322. On the right column is the first article of the small catechism, of the creed. We could say it together as a reminder of all the blessings that God has given us. Let's say it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all of this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Shara Asiro, who serves the Lord in Kenya. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.